The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So you grew up where?
I grew up in Cuba.
Okay.
So I came in
You're a real Cubano.
Yes, yes. I came when I was 13.
Okay.
So I went to Miami.
Okay.
Which is also Cuba. just a little more food. That's the only difference.
Right.
Everything else is exactly the same.
Right.
And went to high school, went to college down there, and then...
What school?
Went to South Miami,
okay.
Senior high,
okay.
And then went to FAU.
Okay.
And first went to Palm Beach Community College and then went to FAU.
Night. Okay.
Fun.
Okay.
And then been here for the last 10 years.
Did you play ball or anything?
I played baseball, but maybe more fun, more things. We were so busy doing all this stuff, trying to figure out, like, learn English. And like, that's what I'm saying. My growing up is a lot different because... you know, we didn't have the. It was so different. Right? As soon as I landed here, it was like, oh, I'm in a new country. I have no idea what anybody's doing or
right.
anybody's saying.
So, what were you doing for like work? What did your folks do?
Well, it was interesting. So, there's a couple ways that the Cuban people could come, right? I don't know if you know this, but you can obviously come the illegal way, right? Back then, and all that kind of stuff. That it was kind of going crazy at that time,
right? The boats,
the raft, boats, anything that right. they can find, or they had a lottery. That you can win it, and if you have family members, they can pay, and you can go there. And also, if you have family members, they can actually claim you. And that's how we came. So it took 12 years for that process to happen. So when you go through that process, your parents have to have jobs before they even show up here.
Okay.
So my dad and my mom had some kind of jobs when they showed up. Now, remember, it's Miami, so... You can get away with the you know, Spanish and English barrier.
Right. So wait a minute. So you have to somehow have a connection in Miami to give you a job before you even get there.
Yes. And on top of that, it's extremely expensive. I mean, even if you get approved from the Cuban government, like, hey, you guys can do it, because it's a lot of things involved. Like, if you're a doctor, right, you got to pay for your degree now. So all of that comes into play that people
right.
don't know, right?
Right.
But so you have to have for sure family members that can really sponsor you. I mean, they even my aunt, who's the one that did the paperwork, she had to show 6 months worth of income for whatever the government told her that a family of three should have in the bank.
Right.
So she had to prove all of that we had to, you know, so we were ready when we came.
Okay. So did you play a lot of baseball? Because I know Cuba, Dominican baseball is
yep.
huge. It's
yep.
like the national sport.
Yep. So that's the majority of the stuff. It was baseball. Like, that was the good things about Cuba. It was all on the streets playing baseball.
Right. So who were your, like, baseball heroes growing up?
So it was interesting because at that time, we had very minimum exposure to baseball from here.
Right.
Because, you know, they had the whole, you know, imperialist and, you know, the devil and all that kind of stuff, right? So they didn't show us any of that. Obviously, we knew that, you know, the best baseball players were here, and there right. was a different level. So there was a bunch of teams in Cuba that they played on a consistent basis, and it's extremely competitive.
Right.
And we were just having this discussion the other day, and that the teams playing in Cuba now, I'm sure that they can hold their own with going against an MLB.
Well, they
team.
Do. Don't they do some sort of like world baseball thing
yes.
every few years?
They do, like, I forgot how they call it. Like, you know, they go to Dominican Republic and
right.
they go, yeah.
When but
they lose half a team, they stay open in the other countries.
Well, like, I think like A-Rod, didn't he play with his team or whatever? Didn't they do all that?
I think so. I think he played for Puerto Rico
right.
for a little bit. And I think the Cuban players would love to do that, but they're not allowed.
They're not allowed to.
No. So because they normally what happens is they stay in other countries and they ask for asylum. And then Cuban government hates that, right? So they cannot go back at all.
Right.
So any of those, any of the Cuban players that are here, it's extremely hard for them.
Interesting.
Right? So like the Atlanta players, right? I mean, Jorge and all that kind of stuff that they that was playing here. I mean, I'm sure he would love to go back to Cuba, but I don't know his exact, you know, situation. But it's really, really rough.
They still are that way.
Yes.
In 2021.
Especially in 2021, yeah.
Is Fidel still alive?
No. So Fidel's dead. His brother is out of the picture. There's a guy running the show. Everybody thinks that's still Raul, you know, the actual brother on the background.
Right.
It's just a huge – it's a machine of brainwashing, dude. It's crazy.
Well, so when did Fidel die?
I think he died like 5-6 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you say that about brainwashing, because if you look at our country in recent years, like, is it much better? Like, you obviously have different freedoms here, but I'm saying the way – like, listen, I never trusted the government either, right? Like, as a kid, I was always kind of a rebel and, you know, didn't really – I didn't understand politics, but I just knew – like, I remember having this conversation with my stepdad. I was like – because we were having this debate, right? Because my stepdad is definitely on the right. And, you know, I said, when you were growing up, did you trust the police and the government? And he said, for the most part, yeah. And I said, okay, we don't. My generation doesn't. And this is the 80s. So now it's 100 times worse, right? So it's interesting when you look at – you know, America used to look at like these dictatorships as like, well, that's all fucked up. And it's like, you know what I mean? Things are wonky over here now.
They are. Here's what I'm going to say, because I love this country. I mean, I'm legitimate when I say that.
Of course. Right.
Well, because not only do I know the difference, right, from first experiences, but also – because there's a bunch of stuff that is a total mess, sure. But this is a perfect example of this country, right? A guy like me that I'm not that smart. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm. You know, I can figure things out. I can make adjustments. I can go around. But if I can do this, if I can kind of have now 4 stores, right, in a matter of a year,
right,
and figuring things out, which I'm not in the restaurant business anyways. I mean, I was in finance, so I got no background in restaurant. I think it gives you that the country kind of sets us up for success.
Right.
Now, really, it's up to us to get all that.
Right.
Now, going back to the second question on, yes, I mean, I do not trust government. I don't want the government to be involved in any of my decisions or telling me what I should do, what right. I should not do. And so I kind of struggle, right, because I have this kind of mix of I really, you know, want to kind of lean towards the right for many of those things, but then the right is insane and so many other things that they use.
Yeah, it definitely, as I've become a business owner and you have more sort of to protect, you do start to think a little bit differently. Like when you have nothing, yeah. Like it's kind of easy to just sort of like, and then when you actually have things, you know, because I've had a couple of businesses over and I have a family now, you know, to look out for. I guess I would say that, you know, obviously it's pretty naive of me for actually to say that considering I don't, but it's kind of like for me to say like, you know, like if you live in Russia, I'm sure this is better no matter what, yeah. Right? Just coming for here sure. Is like you have the freedom. This is what I hope. Like what I think I figured out some way along the line that I hope to explain to my kids is like, listen, you can like rail against a system or you can understand that it is a system and a game and how do you play the game, yep. Right?
Yep. I think that's perfect. And the other thing is that the part is to kind of understand is that, yeah, we do want to fight the system. We do want to challenge the system. We do want to actually ask questions. And that's the part that I love about this country is right. That anybody can say, this is bullshit, right. And why are we doing this? Right. And say it in the middle of the news. If you say Fidel Castro is an asshole
right
now in Cuba, you will go to jail. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, yellow, purple. It doesn't matter.
That's it.
You will go to jail. You actually get more years for doing that than for killing a person.
Right.
Okay. So you can actually – here's a good fact, just so you can get how socialism and communism just gets crazy.
Right.
If you play music, let's say a big Cuban guy that's been in Miami for many years, and he's, you know, his salsa is great, but his lyrics are pretty against the government, right? I remember in the 90s, people were playing that on the streets, and you see the cops running around trying to look, and you hope that nobody said, hey, yeah, it's my neighbor.
Right.
Because you will go to jail.
So Stacey and I were watching this stuff on like Kim Jong-un, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fucking fascinating.
It's insane.
Right.
I saw it the other day too.
But I guess it's like you see the people, right? And like they were like crying when they saw him.
Yeah.
So like how is the brainwashing that deep that like a younger generation isn't like, what are you guys doing? Like, this isn't good.
It's amazing.
We can't leave.
You know why it's so hard? Because we can say, wait, this is bullshit. I don't like the right. I don't like the left. I'm not going to follow anymore. I'm going to do something else.
Right.
Over there, you don't have that. You can't. You cannot say, I don't like communism. Because everybody in your family will be completely... Good example. I like examples instead of making explosions, right? My dad, when they found out that we were coming... Right when they gave him the green light saying, hey, you can start doing the paperwork, he couldn't work anymore. He was not allowed to work. He was not allowed to get 1 cent from the Cuban government, even though that it was freaking nothing. It was literally the equivalence of, I think, $6 a month,
right,
what he was getting, right? But even with that, he couldn't do it anymore, right? So now he was getting some eyes from some people that, oh, I heard you leaving, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, they used to call worms, like the people that actually leave. So you think about all the brainwashing, all the machine. It's not just a few people trying to control that. It's actually everywhere in every street.
But that's what I'm saying is why the masses haven't figured it out. Especially, like I said, younger people usually kind of figure it out.
So in the last, I don't know if you kind of aware, the last 3 months have been extremely tough in Cuba. Like the people have been on the streets. We did a rally here, our other shop.
You got to not mess with that, by the way.
Between COVID came a little delayed in Cuba. They said that they had their own vaccines.
Right.
People are dying and literally staying in the houses. They don't have a way to pick them up. So now a family member passed away and you have them there for 3 weeks. Yep. So people went crazy. People went on the streets. People are still disappearing right now.
Wow.
The government is going to the people's houses that they got the little 2 minutes of fame. And that everybody started kind of, you know, I mean, all the...
Because they posted online or whatever?
They posted online. Well, they shut down the internet. So the internet went... They put down the internet so you couldn't communicate. And they still are picking people up and taking them. They were going into the houses and getting 15, 14-year-olds and putting them on military uniforms. So the government... So it looked like there was more government build-outs. It's insane. It's a different animal.
How do you cut out that on the internet?
They just completely shut down, so you couldn't put it out there. They literally Cuba, the internet just came about probably, I would say, the last 5 to 10 years, and they had hotspots. So if you had a phone, which it was extremely hard, like you can't just go buy iPads, right? There's no stores. There's none of that. So it's stuff that is being sent from here.
Right.
Like me, I'm sending it to my cousin.
Right.
If you had that, then you had different places that you had to go at this specific time. And you see a bunch. Remember those Pokemon? Remember everybody going around?
Right.
It looks like that. Like you can see people in one area. Oh, that's the hot spot for today. And everybody's looking at the
hot spot.
Even in 2021. And that's the way they control it.
But it feels like since you know this, everybody that makes it here would want to go back and get everybody. Like, you got to come here.
Yes. But it's extremely hard. So first, and nobody in Cuba can leave. You're not allowed to visit another country. So you can't just say...
Unless you hop on a raft and try to sneak.
Yes. And in the beginning, you couldn't even do that. If they catch you, you went to jail for trying to leave the country.
Right.
Then they said, hey, you want to go? Go. And then here they hated it. Remember they were sending all the Cuban people in the 90s to like Guantanamo Bay until they can figure them out to make sure that they didn't have any records or any of those things. Because in the 80s was a disaster. The 80s, Castro opened the jails and all the crazies.
Right. That was like the boat lifts and all that.
Yep. And they just said, you want to go? Go.
Right. That's the whole Scarface premise.
That's the whole Scarface premise. Which was truth.
Right.
It was
Are you a Scarface fan?
Yes, of course. You have to be. But, you know, it's interesting. But it's a lot of story from that aspect. But it's just the machine, the brainwashing machine from Cuba, it's amazing. The same thing happens with everything else, even with food. I guess this is the best way. we have so many things here, right? That we can actually said. I mean, we just had a good breakfast. You're gonna have a good Cuban sandwich now in a couple of minutes, right?
Right.
And you can actually say, you know what? I feel good. The family's good. Everything's cool. What can I think? How can we get this country better?
Right.
You don't have that over there. Over there, it's like, what are we gonna eat tonight? So let me figure out how I can find food for here. And then we worry about breakfast after this.
Right.
So it's a different mentality, right? It's the mentality, they keep you in those little portions that you go pick up. I don't know if you know this. You go pick up the food every day. You have a little book, and it says, hey, Matt, how many members in your family? You got two kids? You got two kids? Okay. You got a wife?
I have three kids.
Oh, three kids? Congratulations. All right. Do you get an extra egg? So what's going to happen is every day, you or your wife go to the egg place. And,
there's no grocery stores.
Nope. So I want you to picture a little bodega.
I feel like I insulted everybody that said it might be worse here or it might be the same. Yeah. You have no grocery stores.
Nope. No Walmart, no grocery store. Those things don't exist. You can't just buy anything.
Just government-run shops?
That's it. So you go to
it seems like the revolution should have already happened.
Yes. Oh, but the problem is the government came in and said in the 50s when they come in, hey, we got you now. We took you over this dictatorship. We're gonna help you. You don't need the guns, so just go ahead and give me the guns because we don't need guns out there.
Right.
So just let's clean that up, right? Let's go.
And ahead they and, put in Fidel,
and then Fidel came in. No, Fidel was the one that said that. They said, just give me the guns. Like, let's clean everything up. We don't need this on the streets. We're just gonna create havoc. And guess what? Nobody has guns. Nobody has anything to really fight with. So that's one of the biggest issues.
And, but people find a way, though. You know,
I feel like it. I think this is the closest that is. Probably it's been in a while. I think people are completely fed up for years.
Because the internet has made the word smaller. And like everybody, like you start to know, everybody knows someone or knows someone that knows someone that's like here. And
well, the biggest thing is, and I tell people, this is part is hard. It's like you don't know what you don't know. You
right.
You think you know. I mean, even when you're there, you think, I know that this is not right, meaning Cuba, because of the U.S., right? But you really don't. You're thinking how much of the stuff that you see from the U.S. is real or not real. I use this example. I was talking to Missy the other day, and I was telling them that I thought they used to show us a movie every Saturday, a movie a night, right? And the movies that they put, they're pretty cleaned up. So I think we were watching Home Alone, and this is in the 90s, right?
Right.
And I thought, this is bullshit. And they're like, what? They're like, look at the streets. This is all made up. This literally, that is, it's a stage. The streets cannot be that clean, cannot have no holes. Like you see the landscaping in the right. front. This is bullshit. Right. That was a little, I was a kid and I wasn't trying to find the system. I was just saying like,
that
whatever, like little, like really? Are you telling me that all the countries, the streets are so clean and you can go into a shopping like I couldn't even imagine, like a Publix, right?
Right.
I mean, that's insane. For somebody from Cuba, that's overwhelming because you don't see that. You just go to a place and
right.
you say,
so like Kevin ordered food to be delivered and you're like, you can't do that.
So you go and you pick up 5 eggs because, you know, you guys are 5 people and you get 5 eggs for the day. And then you go and you go to the next place. Hey, do we have rice? Oh, rice is in today. Oh, rice? Oh, yeah. So you get 2 pounds for. So now you go, hey, I guess we're doing rice and eggs. There you go.
Wow.
So that's kind of like how it works. So you kind of, you stay more busy with that. It's the whole brainwashing. It's a big deal. They know how to do it.
So when you moved here, you went to college and you thought, I'm going to do what?
So I've always been extremely entrepreneur, always. I have had so many businesses. I have failed like a champ. I mean, I have made so much messes out there that's been a disaster. And trying to figure things out and done different things. So I always always lean that way, kind of the entrepreneur. But went to college and I was in finance. So my background is finance. So like for the last 10 years here, I was doing finance, investments, 401ks.
Right. So what were some of the other businesses that you tried?
Oh, we have had a blinds company that sold, you know, custom blinds and shades.
Right.
And
what went wrong there?
So it's not that it went wrong. I think the company, and I've been trying to figure this thing out. It's not that everything went wrong. It's that I wasn't committing 100%.
Okay.
I still had a job. And right. had somebody else doing those things.
Right.
So it did well. until it was trying to be, you know, scaling up, and then, you know, it got too overwhelming or something to that effect.
Right.
So blinds, a flooring company doing epoxy.
Right.
All kinds of different, you know, different things like that, that they worked, and they worked successful, and we had a great things here, but there was always that, hey, I got a full-time job, and do I want to make the jump?
Right.
With this one, it was like, nah.
Well, but it also sounds like, kind of like me, like, it doesn't really, like, it's not very sexy. You don't really, like, can you put a lot of passion into epoxying floors?
That's, and I think that was actually the biggest item.
Right.
It was the passion that I really do need. I need to believe what I'm selling, right?
Right.
And the things that I'm selling, it was great, but I'm like, how many more conversations are we going to have about a 2-inch blind?
Right.
You know, that, yeah, it's a hybrid. Oh, yeah, it's not going to go. It's not going to change color. Wow, exciting. Yeah.
Can you sell me something that my kids aren't going to destroy? That's all I want.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So that was the biggest thing. I think that was the biggest thing from there. And because I was in finance, and my job was awesome, by the way. My job was going around, you know, looking to all the participants and making sure they bring rollovers. Easy from the perspective of I was wearing a suit the whole day.
Right.
Have my car going around.
So did you work for the big companies or did you have your own thing?
Yeah, it was a big company. It's called Mutual of America, the $20 billion. I mean, they're not a big boy compared to like the big guys, but
right.
they are big. And
right,
into,
right. And so it's about selling products and services.
Correct.
Got it.
It was my job was more educating, right? It's about we have the account. Now let me tell you what the difference of the index fund is.
And, right.
Great job.
Right.
But I was dying inside.
Right.
I was legitimate dying.
Right. So that's I was saying, like I have this staffing company and we were making real money for the first time in our life, but I was like, there's got to be something else. There's got to be something else.
It sucks because the people from that company, they're great. The clients were great. Even the stuff that you're trying to get people to save and all that, they were amazing. But I'm like, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be 65 and somebody's going to be bringing in like one of those cakes for retirement, and I am going to start choking people out here. And we're going to be on the news because it's going to happen. You know, time just flies.
Right.
So many people always kept asking me, hey, where can I go get a Cuban sandwich here?
Right.
What's a good Cuban place?
Right.
And there's some great places here.
Right.
And I just kept sending
them. Which I want to ask you about.
And I kept sending them. Go over here if you want this. Go over there if you want that. Right. But I always had that, anyway, I would love to have my version of what I think the authentic Cuban sandwich is, right?
Right.
And Cuban coffee and the little things that keep it simple.
Right.
And maybe it is a good business.
Right.
So that's how the idea started. And then my parents started getting a little older. So I thought, you know what, maybe I'll do this for them. And they can just, I don't know if you've seen the tiny house. So I built a tiny house. In my driveway.
Like yourself?
Yeah, from scratch. A lot of YouTube watching. Once you see it, it's pretty impressive. And I was thinking, it's right. They live right behind it.
Okay.
And the idea was, I keep them busy. The guy that owns my jiu-jitsu,
it's like a food truck.
It is a food truck, but it doesn't look like a food truck. See if we have a picture. I don't know if we have a picture on there. I want you to picture like a tiny house on top of wheels, but you don't see the wheels. It looks like it's stationary there.
Right.
And it's got, you know, you walk up or you order, you pick up on the side, and you kind of go.
Right.
So the idea was in Miami. Like in Miami, you go to those little windows
right.
that are falling apart. You know, you go there, you order, and you get the whole experience, right, of, you know, you got the music. And now I wanted to do a little bit nicer, not the place that you know, in Miami, you get there and everything. They haven't watched it since 1789.
Right. But sometimes that's the real authentic stuff.
So I tell people it's more the experience,
right?
Than you know that the whole thing. You want to see the
right.
music and
right.
people remember your name when you come in,
right? And that's so when I travel, that's what I want. Like you find the guy that's like, I'll take you to the places.
Yeah,
just fuck the tourist shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and nothing against like if you want to go see touristy things. Like I was in London, it's now been 15 years, but like, and I went to the fucking wheel or whatever, but then I met a guy and I was like, can we, like, would you take me to, like, what's the coffee shop you go to? Let's get lunch. Where do you get lunch? You know what I mean? Not
yeah.
middle of the fucking mall, right?
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to create.
Right.
So that's the idea how it started. And then from there, it just, went crazy because I made a deal with the guy that owns the gym. So he owns a shopping center. So I said, hey, let me just put this thing here.
Right.
Let me just put it here. I got my parents here. We're going to do 3 hours a day.
Where do you live?
I live in, almost in 25 and 75, so that kind of area.
Right.
Yeah, so I live there, so I'm kind of close, kind of in the middle.
How does that work with your lady?
Great. It's perfect. I mean, she's on the other side. We kind of go back and forth. We kind of relax a little bit, and, you know, sometimes we go to the Bell Line and spend some time there, and then we relax and go on the river because I'm on the river. So
it's
beautiful.
Right. So, because I grew up out here. I went to high school in Marietta. I had friends in Roswell. Like, so whenever I drive up and down here, it's always like very nostalgic for me. Like, I could point to the places like, hey, I threw up over there. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Lots of bars that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
The old Punchline was down there. I don't know if you heard about that. That was huge forever. So you opened this one spot in what year?
August 2020.
So you opened the first one in August 2020?
Yep. Right in the middle of the pandemic.
So what was your plan? So in January of that year, before pandemic hit, were you like, oh, this is going to happen?
Yeah. So it's actually happened pretty fast. In January, I started building that tiny house. I started doing research and how to get the permitting and all that kind of stuff. It took me like 3 months to build a tiny house. And then from there, I started getting the permits, which I'm making it sound a lot easier, but it was hell.
I'm sure.
Sandy Springs is great, but, you know, for anything new, especially during the pandemic, they were closed.
Of course.
There was nobody there. So, hey, they did a good job. They gave us the opportunity, and then we opened August 1st. And I was thinking, nobody's going to come. I mean, there was some traction on social media.
Okay.
I was putting how I was building the tiny house and putting why the difference, my sandwiches and why, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's so bullshit. So whatever. I'm like, let's make 150 sandwiches.
Right.
We're going to have extra. We'll just give it out to like whatever, the fire station, all of that.
Right.
And we opened at 11 on a Saturday, which was the biggest mistake that I could have done.
Because?
At 10:45, the line was all the way, almost getting to the Toyota dealership on the other side. So we went from holy shit.
Right.
We sold out in 45 minutes. So we sold 150 sandwiches in 45 minutes.
Not a horrible problem, though, because it's kind of like, hey, hot property, blah, blah, blah.
Great problem. Right. But it's still, think of it, for a new business, I'm like, oh my God, nobody's ever coming back.
Right.
But they did. I mean, Sandy Springs were unbelievable. I mean, we then from there it just started. Okay, maybe we can't just do 3 hours a day. Maybe we can do now 8 a.m. and start doing breakfast.
Okay,
and then but everything happened so quick. Like it was every week we were making adjustments. Okay, now we kind of stay from 8 to 3.
Right,
and we used to be closed Sundays and Mondays, and people were like, "No, open on Mondays," and then we're open on Mondays, and then can open on Sundays, and then now we're open 7 days a week.
Right,
and then it during that, I had to make a decision, and by the way, my parents, which this was the idea for them, remember?
Right.
They're like 70, my dad's 70, my 73.
Right.
My mom is 72.
Right. Thank you.
It was, I was kind of excited to have them busy. That first day, they looked at me and they said, fuck this. I'm not doing this. You're crazy? Look at this. Nah, right. Good luck. I make the flans. You pick them up and you take them out. So my mom still makes the flans every day. So it's pretty cool. But
I'm going to ask you another question and then let you answer because people don't want to hear me chewing. Right. But I'm definitely going to eat this because there's nothing better than if it's hot, you got to eat it hot, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about this, okay? Oh, my goodness. All right. I don't want to make the listeners listen to me chew, but I can just tell you that what I'm looking at is like just imagine a delicious Cuban sandwich and that's what it looks like. So – I used to go to the one on Ponce. You know the name of that place?
Super Pun.
Not Super Pun.
Cool Corners.
What's? It's right on the corner there. It's not. It's not as big
Bobby's.
As. Is it Bobby's?
Yeah, it's Bobby's.
Is that? I feel like it's just called Cuban.
Yeah, it's in the corner, like right when you're kind of getting towards Ponce, kind of, and it's kind of like a two story kind of building.
You go downstairs.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, do you know that one?
That's Bobby's.
Okay, do we know Bobby? Do we like Bobby?
Bobby's good. I know the owners are great, great guys. Bobby's one of the pioneers, really, of the Cuban food here in the Atlanta area. I mean, he's been in business for a while, and he's done some great. I mean, I think they have 8 or 9 full blown restaurants all over the place. Do a good job.
Right.
Okay.
But you think you do it better?
Yes, but to be fair,
by the way.
Yeah. Right. Just get the phenomenon. I'll give them to get some napkins for you. So here's why I think we do it better. It's because, to be fair, they have a full menu. They have so many things to worry about, right? They have 50 items to sell every day. I don't. I only have one. And my, it's that right there. So my job was to make sure that we are really good at making that and that that's the consistent, that sandwich is going to look exactly the same no matter where you go get it. If you go get it at the Works or in Cumming or in Sandy Springs.
But how the fuck did you...
So first of all, this is delicious. And a Cuban sandwich is very simple,
yep.
Right? Which some of the best things are.
Yep.
So how do we source and make so we do have the best? So when people come to Atlanta and they say, where's the best Cuban? You go, oh, like you got to go to Cabana's Atlanta. Like, so what's the difference maker? You don't got to give me your secret sauce,
saying
yeah, for sure. When you're sourcing and finding things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a really good question because when I first started, I was looking at the sandwiches in my favorite sandwiches in Miami, right? And I went there and I did a lot of research. I wanted to recreate it as close as what I remember. And you know, this Cuban sandwiches don't exist in Cuba. It's a Miami or a Tampa deal, right? They go back and forth.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So that's why that you're eating the Miami, what everybody, the majority of people think it's the Cuban sandwich. If you go to Tampa and you order a Cuban sandwich, you're going to get that, but they're going to have salami in it because that's the way that they made it from the 50s when the Cuban people came.
Right.
So, and then they go back and forth.
Interesting because Tampa is like halfway up the state, right?
Yep. Yep. But a lot of the Cubans went there from the sugar factories. Everybody that left in the sugar business went to Ybor City or the other cigars. They went there. So you get this fight for years. Who make the original Cuban sandwich? Like,
it's kind of like a barbecue, right?
Exactly.
You got pork.
Yep.
You got, right, the whole thing.
So the sandwich is exactly the same everywhere, except they had Italian community in Tampa, and they add salami.
I have not had one of those.
Yeah, it's great.
If I visit people Tampa, I will try it.
No, you don't have to go to Tampa. You can get it right here. We have it.
Just say the Tampa version?
Yeah. You say, can I have a Miami or can I have a Tampa?
That's your two items on the whole menu?
We have five. We have the Miami. We have the Tampa. We have one. It's called the Medianoche, which is called the Midnight Sandwich. It's pretty similar. It's got a different bread. That's actually probably more authentic Cuban from Cuba, like, you know, like it's a little more simpler.
Why is it midnight?
Because that's what they used to eat in the middle of the night. So think about leftovers, right? You had pork, you had ham, you have cheese, and the bread was a lot easier to get. That bread is kind of like a potato kind of bread, kind of, it's a simpler bread.
And then breakfast, do you like the breakfast burrito thing?
We don't. So we don't do the burrito, any of that. We have two breakfast items. We have, and this is pretty authentic as well, we have a toast, what we call the Cuban toast.
Okay.
It's the Cuban bread with butter inside, that's one, and the other one is with butter and cheese. So think about like a grilled cheese, and you actually dip it in the coffee.
Okay, so I'm now drooling. I just finished that first half in like 5 seconds. I hope you don't think I'm a disgusting person.
No, dude, this is awesome. No, go for it.
So again, so let's get to, okay, I'm going to do this and I want to source. So you go down to Miami.
Went to Miami.
And then you're like, okay, how do I find the equivalent here?
A couple different places. And I said, all right, so I like the, you know, like the ham and the pork, the way they make it here. I like the bread on this side. I like the type of cheese. So I went there and I don't know how, but I got them to tell me what they were buying, like what actual ham, like the actual brand. And I did my research. I was so excited. And I went here, opened my account, one of the big companies, like, you know, Cisco, one of those. And I'm like, here's exactly what I need. And they're like, sure, here you go. And I looked at it and I said, it's got to be a mistake. Like, wait, you're telling me that those guys are paying 70 cents a pound for pork? For ham. So yeah, they're literally using the crappiest and the cheapest things ever. Everything that they had, it was just the most inexpensive things that they can buy.
Cisco?
No, in Miami.
Okay.
They got me like the same brands that I wanted that they're using in Miami, but everything was so cheap, I just couldn't put it in the menu. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna start tasting hams, and I'm gonna start tasting Swiss cheese, and I'm going to do it because I you know, our stuff is not the cheapest thing out there.
Right.
Now, you know, I want to make sure that it makes sense.
You talk to Gillespie by chance?
No.
Kevin Gillespie?
No.
Oh, he's a big chef down here. He's like a big pork guy.
Oh, yeah?
He's got like pork tattoos and shit. He was on, you know, Top Chef and all the rest of it.
Okay.
And he's like, anyway, I'll show you some.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's Mr. Pork.
For sure. So yeah, so we did. So we started creating. I'm lucky, my best friend, he's a master chef. So we sat down and we just kind of like, hey, we knew how to make the roasted pork. And that's the biggest thing for Cuban sandwich, right? That pork, we're making it with our own seasoning, with our own mojo, right? So that's what really takes and how you cook it and the types of meat that we put in it, which is so different than Miami. Just uses what they legitimately using any leftovers that they have that they didn't use, and they make them in a Cuban sandwich, and they go, here right. You go. But you're in Miami. You got a person that their English is horrible, the music is loud, coffee, somebody's complaining about something, and you're like, this is good. This right. is taste. It's the right. whole vibe.
Right.
We wanted to create that without the bad attitude and all of that. We wanted to create, you know, taking a good bite of that sandwich and be like, all right, this is good.
Right.
So that's why we took us so long. So the bread, I bring the bread from Tampa, Florida, from the oldest Cuban bread company in the United States. I'm paying probably three times as much as the other guys pay here. They don't think it's important, you know?
So if your margins are smaller, how do you stay profitable?
Every day. You see my to-do list over there of stuff that we just... just looking at it, it's intense of how we just keep making sure that we just keep stay lean and payroll gets to, you know, it's always in every day, every hour, we're looking at everything to make sure that we don't make mistakes because we can be, you know, pretty close.
But I think having a money background helps because
sure.
if you come from the other way, excuse me. If you come from just a passion of sandwiches, but you don't know anything about finances, you can get in trouble pretty quickly. I feel like that probably helps you.
I think that was my, and I, especially now after being, you know, almost 2 years, I guess, a year and a half, it's and meeting so many chefs, meeting so many people that are amazing in the kitchen and they can create the best plate in the world, but they don't have that background. And they are so stubborn in making changes because this is the way I've done it in the last 20 years. And it is what it is. This is the way you need to do it, right? And it really helped us that we can actually, we from day one, we know what our cost is, what our cost per sandwich is, why is it changing, why is it going up? You know, those little things that we just want to make sure that we stay on it and that we don't, without hurting the, you know, the quality of the sandwich, so we know why we're doing what we're doing.
Well, I think also people get very emotional about money. I get very emotional about money. And when you have that financial sense of this is just numbers, yeah. We need to spend less here.
Yep.
You know, my friend taught me this years and years and years ago. He's like, Matt, there's two ways to have more money. Make more or spend less. That's it.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. Yeah, it's simple. And sometimes, you know, especially in the beginning of the business, and especially because we're growing so fast, sometimes it gets a little scary because, you know, that, you know, like, hey, let's just spend less. Well, if we spend less, we can't grow or get the opportunities. And we have gotten and keep getting so many opportunities from local places, right? Asking us to, hey, would you like to be here with us? Would you like to open in Fetch Park, right? All that kind of stuff. All those opportunities that we like, we have to say yes.
Right.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Right,
go,
right, right,
you know?
Right.
So we've been doing a lot of that lately. But yeah, for sure, having the financial background really helps.
So first of all, I want to give Missy props really quickly because I interview a lot of people, right? And I say, who should I have on next, which I'll ask you later. And, you know, they might say, like, their loved one or family member. And sometimes that person isn't that great. You are great. So, I mean, obviously. So just so listeners know, when he pointed to, so there's eight, what you would call the giant sticky notes, right? Like, instead of a whiteboard. And that's essentially, I would say this is what my brain looks like. Because I don't write down enough, right? Which is why I've had issues expanding, like with my businesses. I think scaling is like classic entrepreneurial problem, super passionate, great at idea, see things people don't see. But then if you don't fucking scale.
Well, so that's, you mentioned your brain. That's actually my brain. So if I don't put it out there, it will not get done. So I give props to Missy, for example. Missy, she puts everything on her phone. So you see her list and she wakes up and she's like, oh, I remember this. I can have the best list in my phone and they'll stay there forever. So I have to put it there. So every time I go here, first, because I hate those things being there and I want to be crossing them all the time, So yeah, no, that is for sure my brain, and I need to be looking at it to be able to make changes.
If you went through my notes app, and I've gone back and forth, stickies, physical notes. In the old days, I had the planner, dude. I go way back. The fucking planner. You buy the new one every year. So if you look at my notes, there's like, let's say there's 8 items, and 3 of them will have a check by them, and then the other 5 are just hanging there because now they're not as important. So let's start a new note,
yeah.
Right? That's my brain.
Now I know. So we're every week we meet the whole staff, and we kind of just, all right. So let's go over. Let's make changes. Let's put new ones out there. So I love those things.
So everybody says, you know, because the other part is people, is staff, is. Not just scaling in terms of numbers, but how do you get good people, right? And you clearly have, like, I would never have guessed you were August 2020 just based on what little I've seen here. Yeah. So how do we attract, train, keep awesome people?
Yeah, so that is actually our biggest challenge, right? It's and it's all created with culture. Hey, to give another shout out to somebody else who's got unbelievable culture is Missy, right? At Vesta and her and Alex. I mean, it's amazing how you go there and you feel it. You walk into it and you're like, wait, they work here?
Right.
Like, they actually work here? The one they're staying after? You know, and I think everything is connected with that. So even from the training, I mean, we have to make really adjustment. I mean, we give 401ks. So my employees have 401ks.
Everybody.
Right, because we wanted to first be different. We wanted to make sure that they knew that this is not just, hey, barista, you come in, you learn how to make coffees and sandwiches, but then you can really go get your big time, you know, your big time job when you grow up. No, we wanted them to see, you know what, we are growing, and we're gonna grow so big that you can have your own store and you can have a big time position when we need it, when we get there, when, you know, if you're starting marketing, now you have the background to be our marketing person.
Right.
And we wanted them to know that. So we just had our Christmas party and we went axe throwing the whole company. Just things like that. But that is and we keep making changes every day. I mean, from how one of the partners, the first interview is by him, right? He meets somebody in Zoom. The people that actually show up to the Zoom, he talks to them, and then they make it to the second stage. And the second stage is then they meet me and they hear the story and why we're doing this and why we're different, and why this is not just, you know, a regular restaurant. That nothing wrong with being in the regular restaurant, but I wanted to think that we might be selling food, but our goal is to have 6 more next year. Right, and that we can kind of keep making those jumps.
Is that the goal? Is franchises as many of these things as we can go? Like, what's the goal?
Yeah, so we're going back and forth. We just hire a great consulting firm that they're kind of driving us through the process. I think the first 12 we're probably gonna keep corporate owned,
right?
Just so we can get really good at, just so we can get, you know. From the marketing, from the way that the cups look, to everything, it's completely streamlined, and that we can say if we go somewhere else, because here we can take care of it. But if we go to Nashville, if we go to Charlotte, what do we need to do it? So, but yeah, the goal is to one of those, either from a franchise model or maybe like a hybrid,
right?
Like you can maybe buy 50% of it, or, you know, and we can run it together.
Yeah, I'm always kind of fascinated by that stuff, because Missy and I talked about this, and I have other friends who own gyms, and, you know, this idea of the culture and how you infuse it, and clearly it lives at those guys at Vesta, right? Like Missy and Alex don't need to be there for it to do what it does, which is like such a testament, right? To get people to, you know, again, that word culture gets thrown out, for people to truly buy in. I love this place. I love the people here. And maybe it's not forever, but for the next few years or whatever it is. Yeah. So I'm just very impressed when people can do that. Yeah. So for you, you know, this idea of franchise versus leasing or whatever the other options are, because at the end of the day, it's the quality has to be there regardless, right?
Mm-hmm. So the way that we can control so this is my headquarters, right? So all the sandwiches get made here.
Okay.
And then we send them every morning fresh into, you know, refrigerated trucks, go to all our stores.
Okay.
So that's how I can control the quantity and the quality.
Today you can do that.
Yes.
But not future, a few months from now or a year from now.
Correct. So that's like, even from the perspective, if we do something similar that we have like a home base, right? And then everywhere else, we still need to have that oversight from a team member who's going to be able to look him up to make sure that everything's being done the same way that we want it.
Listen, this is what I will do for you. I will offer my services. Okay?
All right.
Salary free.
Perfect. You hired.
Okay.
I don't even know what you're doing, but it's free. So
I love it. I would be the same way. You want to go to some of these other cities, right? You want to go to Charlotte. You want to go to Austin and like see what the culture is like. How many? Where do they? What do they have? Any decent Cuban places? Like, let's go. I'll go with you. We'll happily taste, right, perfect. And come back, and then you go. Okay, I think I'm going to launch one in Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
So if you need a taster, I'm totally down.
We'll do the races there, and then we'll do one of the races, and then we'll try the Cuban places.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing that's how you do it, right?
Yeah, that's
like check out like where the best location would be, because you know everybody's trying to be an entrepreneur these days. Yeah. Everybody's trying to open their own thing, and most don't make it.
Yeah. So we look at it from a couple perspectives. We feel that actually the more north and the more rural places, they actually can appreciate something new. Because they really haven't tried it, right? I mean, yeah, I don't want to be in Miami. Like,
right.
I'll be another Cuban guy
right.
with another Cuban sandwich.
Right.
Can you still be good? Sure, I'm sure you can still do good. But I'm sure that here or in places in North Carolina or you know, Austin, things like that, that I just can Asheville, Nashville,
right?
All those places will do great. And with the the brand has done unbelievable. I mean, we got our own coffee now. So now we have our own coffee blend. So now we're starting
to. How did you do that already?
Yeah, we move fast. Yeah, so we actually, the Cuban style coffee is different, right? So the espresso is a little different. The way you roast it is a little bit more, it's a little more well roasted, strong.
Right.
It's sweet, doesn't it?
Well, I think you got a great name too, right? There's like, people like ATL is a real brand now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you know this, but when I grew up here, it was not.
Oh, really?
When I grew up here in the suburbs, up here, just going to be real with you, white people lived here and black people were in the city. No, serious. That's it. When I came back here in 2005, and actually I was somewhere on this road and I pulled in and it was a Mexican restaurant and they had the Mexican TV on. You never saw that, right? Whereas in other cities, it's natural, big cities. So... And everybody, all big cities are like this whole like, hey, we're going to make downtown great again. Like that's been going on for 20 years or 30 years or however many years. But because of the Beltline and everything else, like ATL, the movie industry came here, it's popping, right? So you got great timing in terms of like original, unique idea, good name, good branding, that shit all makes a difference.
I was lucky. I mean, timing for sure was perfect, especially because at that time, people were just wanting to get out of the house. And we're all to go, by the way. So we don't have tables. So literally you go pick up and go.
Right. Do you want to have tables?
No.
Ever?
Ever. No.
So all trucks or all windows?
So all kind of small places you can pick up and go. So the second one is incoming. So that one's the one that actually have a little more room for sitting. But like the works in the new place at the works in the West Midtown, close to your house, that is a food hall.
Right.
So we are inside with 31 different concepts.
Right. What do you think about Krog?
Krog is great. I mean,
but you want to be in there, be in there?
I would love to be there. Like, we're looking in some place. We're looking at Decatur.
Yeah. Which would you think would be better for you, Krog or PCM?
Probably Krog.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just because so many people going around there, and it's something, new. I mean, you got a couple of competitors there that are great, like Superpan in Ponce is pretty close.
Right.
It's really good.
Right.
So you got those competitors, but I still think that we can drive because they don't have the coffee. They don't have the flan.
Right, and that's another thing that didn't exist. This food hall thing was not a thing.
No. And it is a thing now.
So who do you look at as competition? Do you look at competition as the other Cuban places or more like if people are going to come to me instead of Chipotle or instead of the other sort of like artisan places within the markets?
Yep. I really don't look at any other Cuban places as competition. I'm friends of with almost all of them. And I send people come all the time and like, man, you need to start doing rice and beans. I'm like, no, man, listen, if you live in Midtown, go to Poppy's. If you live in Duluth, go to Mojitos. If you live in Marietta, go to the Cuban guys over there. Right? They're great, and you're going to find great rice and beans. But that's not our thing. It's a permit. We don't want to go through all that permit. We can't do the frying. It's really expensive for all of that. So just go get the things over there, you know? So I don't look at them competition. I really, like I was saying, they have so many different things on their menu that they're really not making their money from Cuban sandwiches.
Right.
They're making the money from everywhere, everything else. Right. Us, we just want to specialize in that. I think probably legit from competition perspective, I think Miami, something Cuban, Havana South or something, they've been there, they've been here for I don't know how many years.
Right. So, but what are the other kinds of places then that you would look at? Like the choices people are making against yours?
Kind of like what you were kind of saying. So it's literally people want something for lunch and they're like, hey, do we want to go to Chipotle? Do we want to go to, you know, what do we want to do? We want to just get something different.
Right. I can tell you for me, when I worked on the Beltline, I had a space in there and I was at Krog three times a week and it was always Fred's or Yala. Like that's what I ate like every fucking day. I also gained a lot of weight because the burgers at Fred's are unreal and the sandwiches there are unreal. But that's like, there's probably 10 other places in there, but I wouldn't eat them because like that, their stuff I just knew I could count on. Like no matter what. Anyway, I think Krog is a great spot for you because I think they got a lot of open, like there's a lot of white space. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. I think there's a lot of opportunities. There's so many. Like,
do you got a real estate guy? Like how are you figuring out these opportunities?
No, we've just been figuring out on our own. I mean, I got two incredible business partners that they're actually the smart guys.
The smart guys.
Yeah, they're the smart.
What are you?
I'm just the face. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a good looking face. It's just what we have. So I'm just going with it. I mean, it's just no. It's
how old are you? Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 39.
You're 39.
Yeah.
You got grades like I got.
I know. It's a stress.
I'm 49.
It's a stress. Yeah. So yeah, it's I don't know. It's a beer, jujitsu. I got the cauliflower ear. All kinds.
Oh, you do, man.
Yeah. I'm just falling apart here, little by little.
Wow, you do. I didn't even notice that. I'd be like, oh, usually he's got the wrestler ear, the cauliflower. So do you now you just fight for exercise?
Yeah, I mean, always been exercise. Actually, I haven't been in 6 months. I know my coach is gonna drive me crazy. I'm going back on Monday again. Just been so busy trying to get all these things that just one thing after the other one just keeps adding up. But yeah, just fun. It's just go there, train for an hour and a half. You really can let some steam off and go back to the house.
Right. Okay. So how many are there now?
We have three open.
Okay.
So we have Sandy Springs.
Right.
That was the original, the tiny house.
Right.
Then we have one in Cumming, Georgia, on exit 14. The other one is in inside the works in the food hall.
Right.
And then the fourth one, we were going to have it. We actually have it ready. It was going to be at this is breaking news here.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Breaking news here. So the tiny house, actually ready to go, has been in downtown Roswell for the last 6 months.
Okay.
We've been waiting for permits. The city, I think, for sure wanted to help.
Right.
But we just cannot wait anymore.
So where are you going?
So we're taking it out of there, and we're going to either Decatur or one of those places like the Old Fourth Ward, because we do have – so you know Fetch Park?
Yeah.
So I know them, and they want us to go there. Inside Fetch.
Do they? I'm not a dog guy. I don't have any dogs, so I've never been. I've run past it. I run a lot. So what's in there now for food? Anything?
They have a coffee place that they do there, but they don't have anything major for food. They serve, I think, just minor little things.
Right.
And that's what he wants. He wants, that people can actually get
right
food.
So if you're still going to make the food in one place, you just got to get
it every morning there.
You just okay. So they just get it in the morning, and then you get a server and and that's
we
it.
We just get a coffee because we the majority of myself are actually a coffee and sandwiches.
Right. Well, can I buy a bag of your coffee? Because I'll totally do that. Do you sell
course,
it by the bag?
Of course, I'll give you one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will take it. We're big coffee drinkers in my house.
Yeah. I want you to try it because it's our own blend. So we have that. Now we just got it. So I was just right when I called, they're doing the stickers. So like the bags don't have the stickers yet. So you get the bag without the sticker, which it's legit.
it's the real deal.
Yeah. So we're going to pick him up after this.
I honestly, I knew that you were doing well. Like I've seen a little bit because I've seen her tag you and whatever. Can I ask what your given name is?
It's Osvaldo.
Okay.
Osvaldo Yanez. Yeah.
Is that a common name?
It's like an Oswald.
Right. But clearly you called Ozzy, but is that a common name down there?
Osvaldo's, yes. Ozzy, not. But Ozzy was changed here because any Oswalds, they get called Ozzy's.
Right.
So I don't know if you know that. So like Oswald, that's like the nickname is Ozzy.
Right.
So when I got here, people were like, Ozzy. And I'm like, what the hell is Ozzy?
Right. I don't know any Oswalds.
Yeah.
But All right, so now we're going to do the Atlanta favorites. These are questions about Atlanta. You can't get them wrong. They're 100% your opinion.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, what is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Oh, dude, I can tell you that. So I get 3 scrambled eggs with cheese.
Okay.
And I get scattered, chunked and diced on my...
Hash browns. Okay.
And 2 Texas toast.
2 Texas toast.
That's it. No meat, which they always ask me. Any meat? I'm like, no meat.
Love it. Okay. When you're not eating Cuban sandwiches, what is your favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
So fancy or not fancy?
Well, I usually give people a choice. I say you can choose like a breakfast and a dinner. You can do one expensive, one cheap. You know, it's all up to you.
So my favorite when I'm not eating Cuban sandwiches.
Right.
Peruvian food.
Okay. I don't know
if you ever had the chance. There's a couple places. If you're on the north side, Mambo's Cafe, they're unbelievable. They also sell some Cuban food there.
Right.
Especially I go with, it's called Lomo Saltado. It's the plate. It's white rice.
Okay.
It's steak.
Right.
Like sauteed. And like, you know, they're sauteing it with like onions and,
right.
And tomatoes. And then they put French fries in it. Right when they get all the sauce and the meat gets, so you put it on top of white rice. So
wow.
Carp. On top of carb, that's me.
Wow.
So that's amazing.
Okay.
So if I'm hungry and I forgot to eat.
My son Jackson would love that. My son Jackson puts the French fries in the burger when he eats. That's just what he does.
That would be probably something not fancy. But I'm a steak and mac and cheese guy.
Right.
So if I can have time, and this guy always sounds because of the Cuban accent, but it's the steakhouse house.
House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, on the Piedmont.
Right.
That white truffle mac and cheese and that steak is unbelievable there.
Okay. I'm surprised you haven't heard of Gillespie. You never heard of Gun Show?
Yeah, of course. Of course, Gun Show, but I...
That's him.
Okay,
that's him. That's Kevin Gillespie. Like I said, he was on TV, but even still, he's got a couple places down here, and he's a good dude.
Oh, for sure. I'd love to meet him, yeah.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Falcons, Braves, United, Hawks. Rank those 4 in importance to you.
United, Braves.
Okay.
Falcons and Hawks.
Don't care about.
I'm a Dolphins fan, so I'm already hurting.
Falcons, which is great.
Yeah.
You see your accent sneaking through.
Yeah.
Okay. Kroger or Publix?
Publix all day long. All day. We were just talking about that the other day.
Why is that?
It's just, I don't know. Kroger cannot get it together. I just went to it the other day, and it looked like it was World War III inside. I mean, it was like, what just happened? Everything is all over the place. It's just a mess everywhere. I mean, they still have no toilet paper. I'm like, do we still have a shortage of toilet paper? I'm like, what? So, for sure, Publix.
All right. Do you remember the best concerts you've seen in Atlanta?
Haven't been to many concerts, but for sure I would have to say I went to the concert in the Super Bowl, that day before the Super Bowl. So it was Bruno Mars.
There was a bunch of shows.
Yeah,
in
Bruno
Atlanta.
Mars. That was amazing.
Yeah, where was that? So that was down there.
Yeah, it was in the stadium. So it was in.
There was a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so that was pretty. That was pretty cool. That was.
Okay. Do you have a favorite festival in Atlanta?
Not a big festival guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's all kinds. There's the food kind. There's, you know, different kinds.
I've never been to one of them.
All right. Maybe Missy will take you one. Walk around.
For sure.
They have these great little neighborhood ones. Okay, final question. Who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
It's a good question.
This is how you wound up on this show, by the way.
I know. I got a couple people actually come to mind. One of them is a great story of... You know what? So
you can name a couple if you want. It's okay. All
right. So from the couple, I would say one of them is they do like just to keep it in the food business, and they're growing extremely fast too. It's called Belen Empanadas.
Okay.
And her and her husband and her team is doing a really good job.
Okay.
And kind of going. They're also with us there, but I would say first. My best friend is an unbelievable guy. I think you should meet.
Okay.
So just finished 4th. In MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay last season.
Okay.
As a dog trainer so he's not in the restaurant business.
Wow.
Doesn't work full time. And it's an interesting guy. Did all the races, did the trilogy for...
The trifecta?
Yep, the trifecta, all of those in Oregon and...
Maybe I've heard of him. What's his name?
His name is Alex Valdivia.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's...
Have I heard of this guy?
Yeah. So he's... I think he in Instagram, he goes by A Wild Chef.
A Wild Chef?
Yeah.
And, A Wild Chef?
Yeah. There you go. And you know, he goes to...
there he is.
He's an interesting guy. Yeah. It's... literally had a business here for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Dog trainer.
It says followed by, and there's a couple other obstacle racers I know that follow him. So, yeah. Bam.
He's an interesting guy. I think you have a lot of things to talk to him. And he, same story as mine. Came, we met in Miami. When we were 13.
Let's send him a quick video, all right? All right. Just to make his day.
Let's do it. Yo,
Alejandro,
you're gonna get a call from us in a few minutes. You're gonna be in the podcast.
Yeah. Good to meet you, dude.
You got it, bro.
All right. Notice how fat my face looks. You know when you're carrying those extra, yes. When you're carrying those few extra?
Yes.
They always told me it would catch up to me, right? When you hit 30, when you hit 40, none of it hit me because I used to eat whatever I want. And especially if I run at least 20 miles a week, I'm fine. At 45, it hit me and it was like, oh, shit. Now, my wife eats super lean. And so I try to eat more what she makes, but it's tough.
The thing with me, we had this been missing, it's If I can control my hunger, I'm good.
Control your hunger? If any of us could, we'd be good.
Well, what I mean is if I'm not starving. So let's say that I eat something a little bit and I'm not hungry, I'm good to go. But if I'm I'm hungry, I am going shit. I'm gonna eat the stuff that I really want. The right, the Brazilian place out here in the corner, those all you can eat, like mom and pops, they're the devil. They're right. The best thing in the world.
Right.
But $15 and you all the meat and all the stuff you can eat. So if I can keep it under control, I can. If I'm not starving, I can control myself. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna eat good.
How many Cuban sandwiches do you eat?
You know what? If I've eaten 5 Cuban sandwiches in the last 6 months, it's been too many because I'm always running around. I might take a bunch of bites, from we're doing events or something like that. But sitting down, I think the other day I ate the full one, like the chicken that we have,
right?
And I was like, damn, this is good. It's been just so many things. You just keep going. You just, and I'm used to it too. You walk in, you get the pork being cooked.
Right.
So you get used to it a little bit.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, dude.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Thank you for coming.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.